We often hear about how deeply divided our country is politically. Just take a look at Congress. If it is a true reflection of American society, we can barely move for opposing each other's ideas. But then maybe, just maybe, the political system does not give a true picture. Maybe we the people are not so divided after all. You could certainly be encouraged by the findings of the Oregon Values Project. As the name implies, it finds what values Oregonians hold near and dear. And there's a lot of common ground to be found there. Sonia Warsell is the research director for the Oregon Community Foundation and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange to guide us through the Oregon Values Project. Sonia, welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a bit, for the folks who've never heard about the Oregon Values Project, what is it?
Sure. Well, the Oregon Values and Beliefs Survey is a survey that was conducted three times in 1992, 2002, and then most recently in 2013. The 2013 survey was conducted by a public opinion research and polling firm called DHM Research and was sponsored by four organizations, the Oregon Community Foundation, OPB, OSU, and OHSU. And the survey is a statewide representative survey of Oregonians. Over 9,000 Oregonians participated in the 2013 survey, and it's really designed to get at what Oregonians most value, what we think is working well, and what our concerns are. And there are questions that covered a wide variety of topics, everything from governance and taxes to health care, education, jobs in the economy, the environment, among other things.
I want to sharpen up the focus just a little bit.
Sure.
In the sense that this is not just a fuzzy kind of ask people on the internet survey. When we're talking about DHM, which used to be Davis Hibbett's, didn't it?
It is.
So we're talking.
Yeah.
This is a major
yes.
political polling organization
yes.
that is really good at doing the scientific kind of polling that this sort of project requires.
That's correct. I mean, they used scientific methods to ensure a representative sample of Oregonians, both in terms of geographical representation as well as looking at various demographic characteristics, race, ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status, et cetera.
So what is the history? I mean, why did the Oregon Values Project voters' values and beliefs survey start in the first place? Why is it a 10-year period?
Well, I mean, the interest really is in learning from Oregonians what their values and beliefs are, what the commonalities are across the state, as well as any areas of difference. And the 10-year time period is a nice time period to really take a snapshot in time every decade to take a look at have things changed, where are we seeing the commonalities across time, where are we seeing some divergence.
I noticed that the two previous surveys were done on election years. I wonder if it was accidental that it was that survey was taken in 2013, a non-election year, if there was any point to any purpose to picking a non-election year.
I'm not sure. You know, actually, I'm not sure whether there was a conscious decision to do that in 2013 as opposed to 2012. I think it was more a matter of just getting the actors together, getting the funding together, and being able to launch.
All right, I'll ask the question again at the very, very end, I'm sure. But what is done with the findings then? I mean, what do you do with the information you pull in? And there's a lot of it through the Oregon Values and Beliefs Survey.
There is a lot of it, and it has been publicized in various ways. I know that the Portland City Club did a session on the survey, and I believe that other city clubs around the state are interested in picking it up. From our perspective at the Oregon Community Foundation, we were very interested and eager to be a sponsor of the survey because we are a statewide foundation. Our foundation is made up of funds, over 1,800 different funds from Oregonians that see the value in creating a permanent endowment to support the causes they care about. And we care very much about civic and community engagement, and we want to engage Oregonians around the state in the causes that they care about. And we want to design programs and initiatives that address those causes. So for us, it was very important for us to be able to support this project and learn from the information about what causes are near and dear to the heart of Oregonians around the state. And it was very affirming for us. We've got a lot of programming in the area of education and supporting children, and some of the topics that came out loud and clear from the survey as values that Oregonians share.
It's kind of like building a new house in a sense. You do this every 10 years and you figure out what at least the framework of the house looks like, and then you can figure out what you're going to put in it and how big it should be and all that stuff.
That's a nice analogy, yeah.
Well, I was going to go for a baseball field one, but I chose not to. So who do you talk to, and how many people are brought in for the value survey?
So this last survey, 2013, had over 9,000 respondents all around the state, and respondents participated by phone, both landline as well as cell, as well as online and on paper. DHM really went through some efforts to provide a variety of different ways for Oregonians to participate. And one track of the survey, as you mentioned, was very scientifically driven, and they used a very scientific sampling methodology to ensure a representative sample of Oregonians. But then over and above that, they just publicized the survey in various means so that really anyone else who wanted to participate could as well. So it was open to a wide range of Oregonians.
All right, so there was some volunteerism in here then.
Absolutely.
People could, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, did that skew the results in any way? I mean, is there concern that maybe they're not quite as on target, that people might have loaded up on one side or the other?
DHM, again, used some fairly sophisticated statistical methods to ensure that it was a representative sample and weighted the sample and the analyses in a way in order to account for that.
But 9,000 is a pretty good number for
it's
a state
number.
Of, 3.8 million
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before we even get to the specifics, are there some surprises just in general trends?
Well, I think the thing that came through most clearly with the survey is just how much common ground there is among Oregonians in terms of what they value and what they believe. Again, the survey took a look at different regions in Oregon, different types of folks and populations, and really the most striking finding is the fact that there is a lot of agreement among Oregonians. I think that we oftentimes are under the impression that we've got a lot of disagreement, whether it's based on geography, whether it's based on certain population groups. And I don't want to say that there's no disagreement, but I think what was most striking from the survey is just how much agreement we all have as Oregonians.
And just as a little teaser into the next segment, 86% of Oregonians think taxes are necessary to pay for the common good. 86%, that's a pretty wide level of agreement. We'll get further into the specifics of the Oregon Values Project with Sonia Worsell, Research Director from the Oregon Community Foundation, and you. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from this break in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about the Oregon Values Project, more specifically the Oregon Values and what's the other part of it? Oregon Values and Beliefs Survey taken of 9,000 plus Oregon residents in the year 2013. We're talking to Sonia Worsell, who's the research director at the Oregon Community Foundation, one of several partners involved with the Oregon Values Project, finding out what it is that people hold near and dear in the state of Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Talk about the things that you value in the state of Oregon. If you're an Oregonian, if you're in California, jump in as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. For the Rogue Valley folks, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So again, we had just talked about, Sonia, the fact that there's a lot that actually unites Oregonians. They really do feel, at least maybe the approaches they want to take on these issues differ, but at least they hold some of the same issues very near and dear at a very high levels.
Yes, that's true. I think one of the areas where that came through most clearly is in the area of support for our children. Respondents were given a long list of publicly supported services and asked for each one to rate how important they found those services. And K-12 education was the only service on the list in which more than 50% of respondents rated as very important, and more than 80% rated that as either somewhat or very important. Respondents also were united in their support for higher education. About three-quarters felt that the cost of higher education tuition should be reduced for our students. And a similar percentage felt that we needed to have more workforce development and training and were even willing to pay more taxes for those services. And respondents were supportive of children in other ways in addition to education as well. About three-quarters felt very strongly that all children should have access to nutritious food in their schools and were willing to pay taxes to support this. And about three-quarters also felt very strongly that all children should have access to quality health care. So support for children in various ways was one of the areas where we found widespread agreement across the states.
Right, that's a big one, and particularly
it
in
is.
K-12 education.
Yeah.
As the Oregon Values Project, between the online representation and the physical representation, there are some differences in the way things are listed, and I noticed that there's a quote in here about the summary of key findings, observations, and conclusions reflects the judgment of the research partners and not necessarily the views of the sponsoring organizations. What does that mean?
Well, it means that a research firm conducted the survey and wrote the report, and the sponsoring organizations provided the funding for it, but we weren't writing the report or approving what the researchers said in their report. So the researchers were drawing the conclusions from the analysis and then writing that report.
So was there some reorganizing of priorities in the hands of the sponsors?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think that's a common clause that you'll see in research reports, just to point out that the funders were not influencing or dictating what the researchers needed to report in their findings.
Okay. And you did just mention education, certainly at the top of the list, K-12 education. So are there further refinements within those categories of what people feel should happen with K-12 education or with higher education?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I think what you said earlier touches on this, in that we find a lot of agreement for some common values or principles. So we're seeing agreement around the need to support of our children, the need to have quality education for our children and quality health care. When it comes down to the details of how to actually accomplish that, the survey didn't go into a lot of detail on those areas. And also, that's where you would probably start to find some differences in opinion about what actual strategies one should pursue to accomplish those goals.
All right. So in other words, you could have a whole bunch of people say K-12 education is really important to me, but then it could be as different as one person saying, I think we should have all private schools, one person saying we should put twice as much money into public schools.
Absolutely.
Ah, okay. So now we see where things diverge just a bit. And there is within this survey a page indicating Oregonians share a true north, and it shows a number of arrows, pointers, places where there are shared values. For example, the 86% one I cited before, 86% think taxes are necessary to pay for the common good, which makes you think, well, that's interesting. I mean, so people this again, where before you start dividing people up into camps of like which kinds of taxes they want and stuff like that, at least they do recognize that they pay taxes for a reason.
Absolutely. And we see that in some of the other findings as well. I mentioned some that there is widespread support to or acknowledgement that perhaps we'll need to increase taxes if we want to ensure nutritious food for all children, or increase taxes if we want to ensure that we have adequate job training programs. So it is interesting that you can see folks agree that taxes are necessary, and even agree that taxes perhaps should be raised for particular purposes. On the other hand, most folks felt that the tax system was unfair and that the tax system needed to be reformed. How you go about doing that, of course, is another question entirely.
Well, that is where things get really interesting then, because it's just a few arrows away. And granted, you could put these anywhere in the chart, but 86%, so that was number one on this list of arrows. 86% think that taxes are necessary to pay for the common good. But there at number four is 78% think our tax system should be more simple and straightforward. Those are not necessarily mutually exclusive, though.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. So now the question, I guess, for the folks in charge is to pick directions to go with this. Let's get back into some of the other specifics of this. Wellness and health care, high on the list. What are some of the feelings here?
Well, that was an interesting one. I think what we found there is that Oregonians share a belief both in personal responsibility as well as some collective responsibility for health and wellness. And by that, I mean that Oregonians seem to agree that individuals need to take some responsibility for their health. And one of the results there is that Oregonians agreed that folks should be held accountable for risky behaviors in the form of higher insurance premiums. At the same time, there is widespread agreement that all people deserve equal access to a basic level of quality health care, and widespread agreement that we want wellness and prevention to be the primary focus of health care as opposed to the treatment of illness. So an interesting combination of both some belief in personal responsibility as well as some collective responsibility for ensuring the health of our state.
So in the personal responsibility part, is that along the lines of making sure that you keep yourself healthy, you exercise, you do the things you're supposed to do?
Absolutely.
Right?
And that if you smoke, if you don't exercise, if you do other risky behaviors, perhaps you should be paying more for health insurance premiums than others who are leading a healthier lifestyle.
I did find myself wondering as I looked at the date of the surveys, and these were done in early to mid 2013, were
yes.
they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So essentially, post passage of Obamacare, pre-cover Oregon, and I wonder if there's a sense that things might be a little different which granted you can't based on any particular research at the moment,
right.
but if there's a sense that things might be a little different if you ask the same questions today.
That could very well be with any survey that you do, you're subject to whatever the whims of the time are. And if you conduct that survey at a different time with different news headlines, you might get different results, absolutely. Yeah.
But in addition to the personal responsibility, you mentioned some collective things that we can do. What were the things identified within healthcare?
Well, the belief that that wellness and prevention should be the primary focus of the healthcare industry as opposed to treatment of illness. This is something, again, that's been in the news a lot in the debates over healthcare reform, and we're seeing Oregonians feel that perhaps that is a way that the industry should move. And then also, I found it interesting that 70% of us believe that all people deserve equal access to a basic level of quality healthcare. Again, how you put that into practice is another question entirely. But I think that, you know, in these last couple of months of being mired in the headlines about healthcare reform in Cover Oregon, we've gotten wrapped up in the details of what went wrong there. And it's interesting to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and say, but the bottom line is the majority of Oregonians feel that everyone should have equal access to basic level of quality healthcare. So how can we do that?
Is it actually stated as a right or a right to access? Or, I'm just curious to know how solidly people view this, whether it's like it's our right to have health care.
I don't know. I don't believe that the question used the word right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But the fact is that there's at least an interest in making sure that people at least have access to health care.
That's correct.
For sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which then you begin to apply labels to it, like Cover Oregon and Obamacare, right. And potentially end up in a different zone completely.
Right.
We're talking to Sonia Warsell, who's the research director of the Oregon Community Foundation, which is one of the partners on the Oregon Values Project. And we're talking about the findings in the Oregon Values and Issues?
Values and Beliefs Survey.
Values and Beliefs Survey. I don't know why I can't get that right. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the things that people share in common in Oregon, because even though this ranged across the political spectrum and across the geographic expanse of Oregon, it did find a lot of things that people share as common values. Whether they share the common approach to dealing with those values is another question we will get to later in the show. Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts, comments, questions, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And check us out on Facebook as well. We did snap a picture of Sonia before we got started here today, and there she is smiling back at us. We have an email here from Joe in Talent, who writes, "It was heartening to hear the support for the social systems, public education, and well-being of our citizens here in Oregon. I've long boasted to my friends back east that most everything is done right over here and they should pay attention. Given the results, you would think that Republican candidates would have difficulty getting a foothold here. Does your guest think that the responses are based what the respondents think they personally want or what they want for everyone in the state?" Interesting question, Joe.
That is an interesting question, and I'm not sure we can tease that out. I think that respondents were answering with their own personal opinions about what they want and value in the state of Oregon, but I'm not sure that people would distinguish that from what they want from the state as a whole.
But you're a research person yourself, so I mean, you looked at the questions, I'm sure, at some point. In fact, probably helped devise them, I'm thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, was it just about what do you think?
Yes.
It generally stated that way?
Yes, it was stated that way.
Okay, so it probably is more of a personal embrace of kinds of things,
right.
But interesting to hear about that, though, that you can tell folks in other parts of the country, hey, look what we do in Oregon.
Right.
I guess that explains why people keep moving to Oregon.
That and the fact that it's a beautiful state. And
it does have that going for it, too, yes. Which brings us right into, nice segue, environmental quality and protection. And talk about some of the basic findings in that realm.
Sure. This was a really interesting area of findings on the survey. It came through loud and clear that Oregonians value this place that we call home. There was an open-ended question on the survey that asked folks to share what they valued about living in Oregon, and more than three-quarters of respondents mentioned the natural landscape and the natural beauty of the place that they call home. There were also other questions on the survey that got at issues in the environment, and a more majority of respondents recognized the need to balance economic growth with environmental protections. More than half of respondents stated that protecting the environment sometimes should be given more priority, even at the risk of slowing economic growth. And Oregonians also recognized the need to address climate change. Roughly three-quarters of respondents stated that climate change requires us to change our lifestyles. And a majority supported protection of our farm and our forest land from development. This is one area where there were some differences based on geographical location of the respondents. While most Oregonians supported these issues, we did find some disagreement between rural and urban respondents, particularly in eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon respondents were somewhat more likely to say that economic growth should be given priority over environmental needs. But I want to stress that while that finding did come out in the survey, the differences that we found are more a difference of degrees rather than agreement-disagreement. So rather than eastern Oregonians agreeing with a statement and the rest of the state disagreeing with the statement, it was more a matter of how much did folks agree or disagree.
Shaded down by 10% or something?
Sure, not even that much even.
Okay, but differences and statistically significant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Beyond the standard deviation, is that how it works?
That's correct.
Beyond the margin of error. I'm curious then to drill a little further into the idea about environmental quality and protection. Was there any question about limits to protection, where things might stop in favor of the economy or anything like that?
No.
Nothing specific about owls and jobs and along those lines?
No.
Okay.
No, there's not a question pitting owls against jobs. Yeah.
And there's another category in here about environment and resource use. How does that differ from the environmental quality and protection part?
I think, again, we just find that folks were supportive of protections in terms of wanting to protect farm and forest land from development and recognizing the need to balance those environmental protections with economic development. And on the whole, folks tipping in the favor of environmental protection, which I found was interesting.
Is there a fair amount of flipping back and forth once you get the most recent version of the Oregon Values Project put together? I mean, do you go back to 10 years ago and see how much things have changed? I'm curious to know in particular in this area about environmental protection and things like climate change, if the same sets of questions were asked.
I can't answer that one off the top of my head. I would need to go back and look at the earlier surveys to see what the specific questions were on those surveys about the environment and climate control. But that's a very good question.
But it did seem like there was some comparison, at least of just some raw numbers, pessimism, optimism, things like that. It seems like a very, very similar survey to 11 years before this time around.
That's correct. And the pessimism and optimism questions were interesting. Folks were asked each time the survey has been conducted how optimistic and how positive their feelings were about the future for Oregon as well as their personal future. And what came out there is that folks on the whole, each time the survey was conducted, feel quite optimistic about their own personal future and more neutral about the future of the state, which is an interesting juxtaposition, how you can be quite positive that you yourself are going to have a great next 10 years, but less sure about the state as a whole.
Interesting. So I'm going to do okay, but I'm not so sure that everybody around me is going to do okay.
That's right. That's right. One of the most poignant findings from my perspective of the survey was a question that was asked this time that asked folks how important they felt it was that people across different groups work together to improve life in Oregon, as well as how likely they felt that this was going to happen. And by and large, over 80% of respondents agreed that it was very important for all of us as Oregonians to come together, despite our differences, to work towards the betterment of the state. But less than half felt that this was likely to happen. So this, to me, is a very poignant finding and points to a degree of pessimism about our ability to work together to forge common ground and improve life in Oregon.
So it was less than half thought that was going to happen?
Yeah.
Really? How much less than half?
It was
about
close. 42%, I think.
All right. So, well, here again, we get into the whole pessimism, optimism realm here. People think something's a good idea or think they'll do well, but don't think it'll happen for everybody else the same way.
Right. Although, I what's interesting with that finding in particular, just last week I was in Sun River for the Oregon Community Foundation put on a leadership conference where we invited OCF volunteers from around the state to join us in Sun River. And these are volunteers who are very engaged in their communities. They're leaders in their communities, and they volunteer for the Community Foundation on our leadership councils around the state to keep the foundation connected to what's going on in local communities. And we asked that same set of questions to our volunteers in Sun River, and Again, a vast majority felt that it's very important for folks to come together across differences to work to improve life in Oregon. But I was heartened to see that a vast majority of our volunteers felt that this also was likely to happen. So again, our volunteers are not a representative sample of Oregonians at all. They're a sample of community leaders and volunteers for the Community Foundation. But I found it quite heartening that these folks who are leaders in their communities not only see the value of this, but also believe that it can happen. So that to me states that, you know, if these community leaders are willing to really work to make this happen in their communities, perhaps the overall pessimism isn't quite right.
These are people who are involved then with community involvement and improvement efforts, though. And I just wonder, it makes me wonder if there were any breakouts for percentage of people by industry, if you have socioeconomic data on the people who are surveyed. I mean, you got what seems to be a good representative sample of the state of Oregon. But I mean, how carefully do you drill into where these people came from, not just geographically, but
sure.
income?
Yeah,
job,
and that's
and
a good question. And the survey did collect a variety of demographic information. So the survey collected information on race and ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status, education attainment levels. And the analysts looked at all of those variables and by and large, again, found vast areas of agreement rather than disagreement. You know, there was a question here and there where you could say, you know, men answer differently than women, or there's some differences based on education level or socioeconomic status. But given the hundreds upon hundreds of questions on the survey, you'd expect to find a thing, you know, a significant difference pop up here and there. But overall, we were quite surprised and pleased to find that that these results really did hold true, despite folks' demographic backgrounds.
A lot of agreement on the basic values that Oregonians share. We'll come back and talk more about those with Sonia Warsell about the Oregon Values Project. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Sonia and you in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Sonia Warsell, the research director from the Oregon Community Foundation. OCF is one of the partners in the Oregon Values Project, which goes out and assesses the things that Oregonians hold near and dear. It's been in a roughly 10-year cycle. We're talking about the figures pulled in 2013 for the most recent version of the Oregon Values Project, a survey of how people feel about the things that are important to them in the state of Oregon, and a lot of agreement across both geographical and political lines about the things that are important to Oregonians. No big surprise. Of course, then it begins to break down when you enter the political system and talk about ways to achieve strengthening those values. We can talk about that. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org, or check us out on Facebook and see Sonia from when she first got into the studio a little while ago. So back to some of the issues here. Transportation and roads is another interesting one that a lot of shared value there. Surprising to me, actually. 72% support road and highway maintenance, and there are some other subcategories in there as well.
Yeah, and on the whole, you're right. The findings in that in the transportation section of the survey did indicate that folks are more supportive of investments in public transportation than in constructing new roads and highways.
Even in Southern Oregon, I noticed.
Even in Southern Oregon.
Even a majority here, yeah.
Yeah.
Although it tends to thin out in eastern Oregon.
That's
more
correct.
About the
that roads, is another area where things looked a bit different in eastern Oregon with slightly less support for public transportation.
Did eastern Oregon come in differently in a bunch of areas of the survey? I mean, in a lot of ways, it's more part of the Intermountain West than it is the Pacific Coast.
Right, right. The areas where eastern Oregon differed were in this area of transportation and road maintenance and then in some of the environmental and economic development questions. Again, I want to stress that while those findings were statistically significant, again, it was more a matter of degree rather than difference between agreeing in eastern Oregon and disagreeing elsewhere. Vice
not
versa.
A black-white night-day
kind of
split.
Not a black-white night-day kind of split at all.
Shades of gray, ultimately.
That's right, yeah.
So tell me again about the public transportation part, about what the feeling was there about where things should be going.
Sure. So 72% of respondents supported road and highway maintenance. 55% supported more public transportation like buses and trains, and slightly less than half, just under half, 49%, supported the construction of new roads and highways.
All right. You said 49%?
Mm-hmm.
So basically half want new roads and highways.
Right.
But that's a figure that seems like it would have been higher in previous editions of the Oregon Values Project.
Perhaps so. And then Oregonians also are willing to shift some funding from road and highway construction toward public transportation, such as better bus and high-speed rail services, which I thought was interesting. And again, would be interested in looking back at the previous surveys to see how that played out on those surveys.
I'd be curious to know if there's any feeling that the 10-year cycle might be too long. And when I think about things like transportation in particular, because it seems like there's a trend right now, particularly among millennials born between 1980 and 2000, not bothering to get cars, particularly care, would rather ride public transportation. And in a 5-year cycle, you would probably catch a sharper uptick in that. But who knows? Maybe it'll smooth out over 10 years.
No, you're right. That's an interesting thought. I've got a 23-year-old nephew who doesn't have a driver's license and has no desire to get a driver's license. So I think you're right that there's definitely some generational shifts there.
Does he live in the Portland area?
He does not, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Someplace where there's decent public transportation?
Though? Yes.
Okay. Let's talk, moving on from transportation to crime then, because this is always a hot-button issue and one that gets slung around in political contexts. And I'm being careful not to talk about this in a political sense right now. We do the assessment first and talk about how people might make use of this later. And what are the general feelings about crime and approaches to it?
Well, there was support for rehabilitation as opposed to incarceration alone. 66% of respondents felt that criminals should be rehabilitated through counseling and job training whenever possible, as opposed to 27% who felt that criminals should be punished by just locking them up. So some recognition there that incarceration alone is not the answer to solving the problems we face with crime in our society.
Interesting. So about roughly a quarter then for punishment alone and two-thirds. The difference in these percentages that – in other words, adding these up and not getting to 100% means there are just some people who are sort of noncommittal.
Don't know. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting statement here that I found in this version of the Oregon Values Project. We don't think government can help improve the economy. Interesting. And yet, it's very loud and clear right now as we're in essentially an election cycle because ballots are going to be delivered in Oregon starting today, essentially. They've got... The registration ended 2 days ago. So ballots will begin arriving this week. Everybody running on economic development, it seems like.
Yep. That's an interesting finding. And I think what you're pointing to there is what you mentioned at the start of this program, the general discontent that we feel towards our elected officials, towards the political process, towards how politicized everything has become in that arena. And we just have a lot of pessimism and distrust for whether the government can accomplish the goals that politicians set out to accomplish.
How much questioning, we've already talked about some of the other data about the people that took part in the Oregon Values Project this time around, 9,000 respondents plus. Did you ask for party identification? Did you ask for identification on conservative to liberal?
We did, and that ideology? Was another area where I found the results quite interesting. As a whole, we're a moderate state. Respondents were asked about how conservative or liberal they found themselves, both on social issues and then again on economic issues. Most folks identified themselves as either center of the road or perhaps moderately liberal or moderately conservative. Few respondents identified themselves as extremely liberal or as extremely conservative on both social and economic issues. So on the whole, I think we've got a lot of Oregonians who consider themselves middle of the road.
Right smack dab in the middle. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have a few thoughts for Sonia Warsell, the research director at the Oregon Community Foundation. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. We're talking about the Oregon Values Project. So moderate, interesting, but obviously here again, there's a potential set of gigantic shades of gray in that moderate zone between self-identified extremely conservative and extremely liberal.
Sure, yes.
All right. So an urban-rural divide, what'd you find? I mean, this is not obviously just eastern and western Oregon, but within regions. And you divided the state into, was it six different regions?
The analysts divided the state, I believe it was into five, one, two, three. No, you're right. Six different regions. Yep. And where, again, the only place where differences stood out were with Eastern Oregon. So again, that doesn't neatly come to an urban-rural split, because obviously there are rural areas in Southern Oregon and other regions as well. But we didn't find differences among other regions. It was really the Eastern Oregon respondents that stood out, again, just on a couple of those issues: economic issues, environmental issues, transportation issues. Otherwise, there seemed to be widespread agreement across the state.
Now, I gather, too, though, that where there were differences between urban and rural, they were not as profound as people might have thought.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, these were differences that were in shades of gray, as you said, degrees of agreeing on something and degrees of disagreeing on something. We didn't find instances where Eastern Oregon respondents agreed with something and the rest of the state disagreed.
All right. It seems like there are a couple of findings in here that aren't necessarily contradictory of each other, although they begin to get there when you talk about the optimism, pessimism. People think their lives will be better. They don't think everybody else will be doing as well, though, within 10 years. But things like, for example, I mean, 86% think taxes are necessary to pay for the common good, at the same time that 78% think our tax system should be more simple and straightforward. Those are not necessarily mutually exclusive of one another. But then 64% think government is wasteful and inefficient. So they see the need to provide taxes for services, think the system can be cleaner and more streamlined, but also think that a lot of money gets wasted in the system at the same time.
I think that's correct. And again, I think that gets to our general dissatisfaction and distrust of our elected officials in the political process right now. We all see the need to have taxes to support the public services that are necessary for our state. But we don't trust that the political process and the elected officials are doing what we want them to be doing for the best of the state.
It seems like the greatest opportunities then to use the information from this survey are for people who at least don't look very much like politicians, whether they are or not, maybe beyond the point. But at least if you can approach something as if there's a constructive way to utilize this information, you might stand a good chance of doing it. Which begs the question then, when you bring this back to the sponsors and say, okay, how do we move ahead from here? Does anybody look at the findings from the Oregon Values Project from the 2013 survey and say, we have got to do this?
Well, from our perspective at the Oregon Community Foundation, the survey findings were quite important for us and illuminating about what those common core values are around the state. And we are committed to engaging Oregonians in efforts to improve life in Oregon. We've got some large efforts right now around educational access and educational reform, ensuring our youngest Oregonians are healthy and ready to learn when they enter and reach school, and ensuring that our students are prepared and able to pursue higher education or job training after high school. So the findings of this survey really point to the fact that those efforts on OCF's part are really getting at some core values that are shared across the state, and we are very committed to community and civic engagement and reaching out to all corners of the state to invite people to partner with us on these initiatives.
And among the sponsors, then, what are some of the things that happen from here?
Well, again, we're doing a lot of outreach, radio shows such as this, city club events, Rotary events, to share the findings from the survey. That's something that both DHM, as the research firm that conducted the research, as well as each of the sponsoring agencies are committed to doing. And then I think each of the sponsoring agencies, I can speak only on OCF's behalf, but, you know, will use the survey to help us inform our strategies and our programming and to reach out into local communities to invite people to engage with us on this work.
So what are some of the things, for example, that might have cropped up from the last version of the Oregon Values Project in 2002 then? I mean, are there some programs in existence today that cropped up as a result of the findings of that one?
Sure. And I can't say that OCF develops new programs and initiatives based solely on survey findings. But I think that we can use those results, again, to inform and support our directions. On previous surveys, again, we found a lot of support for education and supporting our children, building a better state for, you know, future Oregonians. And OCF has had a longstanding effort in the realm of education, and specifically early childhood education, starting with our youngest early Oregonians to be sure that they're ready for school and healthy. So I think that's an example, again, of where we are just making sure that what we're doing resonates with the priorities and values of Oregonians.
We have talked about the things that showed up in this survey that were surprising, that there's a lot of common ground here, for one thing. Are there things you did expect to see when you got the numbers back that didn't show up?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I don't know how much the researchers like yourself would sit around placing bets on, like, I'm going to think this is going to hit 78% of dissatisfaction with the tax system.
Right. I think by and large, I wasn't surprised by where the areas of agreement were and where the common values were. I must admit I was a bit dismayed with some of the pessimism, some of the belief that we aren't capable of working together across differences to achieve common goals. I would have hoped that those numbers would have been a bit more positive. But again, I think that points to an area of direction for OCF and perhaps for the other sponsors as well, about if we're truly committed to civic engagement and bridging gaps across communities, you know, how can we best do that work, and how can we best harness the agreement that is there and the common values that are there to ensure that we can all work together to improve life in Oregon.
The trend you've set up certainly is to do this within a couple of years of the change of the decade. And I wonder, though, if from a researcher's point of view, there's ever really a perfect time to do something, because as I think about the fact that you at least had this window in 2013 when you were between elections, which might have helped uncloud things. I mean, probably best to have a survey out in the field when you don't have a lot of political spots running on TV, for example. But then when I think back to 2002, this is just a few months after the September 11th attacks. Right. We're preparing to go to war. I just wonder how much, you know, is there ever a perfect time for a researcher to go out and commit to a research project?
No, I don't think so. I think you're absolutely right. There's always going to be something going on out there in the world that are capturing the headlines and capturing the fears and hopes of Oregonians. So, no, there's no perfect time.
Now, how political does any of this get once the information is delivered? Because I don't know if you do what a lot of state agencies do when they're told to do research projects, which is present their findings directly to the legislature. I imagine you send a few copies. But I don't know if it ever gets discussed in legislative committees. Anybody ever makes speeches about it or says, let's act upon this and let's pass a law to do whatever.
Right. I'm not sure that we can point to an example of this survey having directly spawned a particular piece of legislation. However, you're right that these survey results are shared with legislators, with other public officials, and we can only hope that they listen to what Oregonians are telling them.
There is some rich stuff in here, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I mean, a chance to look and say, well, look, there are lots of things that people feel. In fact, I forgot to mention this one, which is a good place to close, which is that 84% want to find common ground and work together.
Absolutely.
I think you mentioned that already,
yes.
But that's a high figure.
That's a high figure, and I think we really need to capitalize on that finding. Again, the flip side of that was folks' pessimism about whether that can happen. But I think we can see that there is a desire for Oregonians to make that happen, and at least among our OCF volunteers last week, they felt that it really was possible to make that happen, and they're all going back to their communities all around the state, and they're going to do whatever they can to ensure that we do that.
You're making us smile. Sonia Warsell is the research director of the Oregon Community Foundation, one of the sponsors of the Oregon Values Project. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun.
You bet.